finishing up the year, and I'm kind of just doing along that theme and of the end of the year. I want to talk about finishing well tonight. Finishing well, 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to read a little bit lengthier passage than I'm just preaching on, but I'm going to start at verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 1, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, but shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. A lot of things for a pastor here. This is written to a pastor. Timothy is a pastor, and there's a lot of important things about the ministry here and what a pastor should do. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. All right, we're going to talk about finishing well. The last service, last Sunday service of the year, we're going to talk about finishing. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this wonderful book and this wonderful book in this book, the book of Timothy and 2 Timothy, and thank you for these great verses, Lord. Well-known verses, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course. And these are a lot of verses in here are very famous, Lord. And I pray today we learn lessons from a man writing that book at the end of his life and having acknowledged what life was like and what it feels like to get to the end and having done well. And may we get to that point to where we feel like we have finished our lives well, Lord, maybe 20 or 30 years, or maybe you come back in a week, whatever it is, Lord, may we finish well and learn what your word has for us. And we thank you for your word and for its guidance. Help us to have your spirit's power and understanding tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. In this book, Paul's writing, he's about to actually have his head cut off. And let me grab my water here. A week, maybe a couple days, but he says he doesn't know for sure because he says, hey, come bring my cloak and bring some things here and try to get here. But he says, my time is the end. I'm not going to get out of this prison cell. And he knew that they were about to execute him. And he says, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. So he, at this point, if you knew you're going to die in a day or two or 5 days, you'd be able to say, well, let me just kind of summarize my life. I wonder how we would summarize our life. Would you say, oh, brother, I haven't done anything with my life yet, or I'm not ready to go, or it's a tough time. I'm not ready to go. I haven't done enough, and I haven't finished the things I wanted to start, and I haven't accomplished things. A lot of people intend to accomplish things. If I said, how many of you intend to accomplish great things in your life, pretty much everybody raise your hands. A few wouldn't, and a few people would have insecurity problems from things you're grown up with and things you've been through in life, and that's another message for another day. But most of you would say, I want to do something big with my life, and I'm going to make my life count, and I'm going to have a good life. If I said, how many are you going to turn out good kids? Most every parent thinks their kids are going to turn out good. That's really, really common. Most of them are shocked at about 15 or 16. That their kids aren't turning out like they thought they would because they don't have the wisdom from the Bible. By the way, the knowledge of man is going to get you good kids in this world. You got to have the knowledge of God and a lot of wisdom. Many people want to do great things. Many people want to have a life that counts. A lot of people want to be satisfied with what they accomplish in life. But here is Paul getting ready to die, and he says, the time of my departure is at hand, but you know what? That's okay. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Three things he says there. I fought a good fight. You know, the devil and me have had it out for a number of years now, and he's got some black eyes. He's got a bloody nose and a fat lip and a couple broken arms, and I've fought pretty tough. I've fought hard. That is a hard thing to say. We live in such a weak generation and such a weak bunch of people that most people, when the devil starts swinging hard, they get mad. But not at the devil. They get mad at God and mad at the preacher and mad at their spouse, and they just complain and they kind of curl up into a ball and say, poor me, I'm getting hit. And if that is you, you'll never be a good Christian, because the devil's going to hit you. He's going to hit you real hard. And if you can't fight a good fight, then you're not going to become a good Christian. He says, I have finished my course. I don't know exactly what my course is in life, and you might not know either. I know up till now I've been in the will of God, but I don't know where God will have me for the rest of my life, what he'll have me do. I don't know who I'll meet, what the church will be like. I don't know everything I'll be doing for my entire life, but I want to finish my course. Up till now, praise God, I can say I've finished my course. I've stayed in the will of God and done God's plan for my life. Although I've failed in a lot of ways, I'm on the course that he put me on, and I haven't left that. And then he says, I've kept the faith. And have you kept the faith? Have you stuck with God and stuck with the doctrine of God? He was able to say that. I'm summarizing my life here. And Timothy, you know what? I fought a good fight. I'm done. And now he's telling Timothy this for a reason, because he says, Timothy, I need you to be ready, because you know what? I'm leaving. I've fought a good fight. I've finished my course, but now you need to be ready to fight, because you've got to be ready. He says, verse 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. In other words, I'm not going to be here. I'm gone, Timothy. You need to be having done the right things and be ready and have the right kind of ministry, because I'm ready to be offered. I'm heading out of here. So you need to be ready to do that. I'm not going to be here long. If you finish well like Paul, it'll be on purpose. If you get to the end of your life and say, you know what? Good life. Well lived. I did what I was supposed to do, and I've accomplished a lot. And you know what? I'm satisfied. I wonder how many of us right now, if I said, okay, you die in 15 minutes, are you satisfied with what you've done and how you've lived and what you've accomplished? I think most people would say, can I have an extra man? Can I have a few extra minutes here? Can I have an extra restart here? I want another couple years. And by the way, if you knew you were going to die today and God gave you an extra year, you would live that year very purposely, and you live that year very well. Why don't you just do that without having to go through that process? That'd be a good idea. It's a strange thing, though, the way we are like that. Let me just give you a few things about finishing well. First of all, the Lord acknowledges, and he talks about finishers here. The Lord acknowledges and rewards finishers. He says, I'm ready to stand complete because, I'm ready to go because I finished well. I have finished my course. I have fought a good fight. I'm ready to be offered. I'm ready to go because I've done this. I finished the work God gave me to do. The Lord in the Bible acknowledges and rewards finishers. Verse 8, henceforth, because I have finished well, I've done what God told me to do, and I finished my life that God had for me, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. He says, I've got great treasures because I have finished what I'm supposed to do. I finish. Three times in the Bible it says that they that endure the end shall be saved. God in the Bible oftentimes acknowledges finishing what you started, and we'll read many passages on this, but he says, I want you to finish well. A lot of people start well. And to be honest with you, that was my nature before I really had God beat into me. My nature is starting with a whole bunch of energy and stopping by halfway and go start something else with a whole bunch of energy. And you know what? A lot of people don't got the character to finish. See, starting does not take character. A lot of people can start a job because everything new is fun. Starting the new job is fun. You know the hardest thing to do on a job usually? Cleaning up. Isn't cleaning up hard? You get everything done and you work and work and work and work, and you go through it all your energy, and now you're done, and now all of a sudden you got to pick everything up and wash the brushes and sweep the this and do the. I mean, it's just, that's the hardest part, isn't it? Finishing. See, God talks about finishing and expects us to finish. He talks about it. Those that endure to the end shall be saved. Because you know what? If you don't finish in a lot of things, it doesn't matter how well you ran. The Bible says this is a race. Looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So here comes a guy, and he says, all right, we're running a 100-yard dash, a 400-meter, an 800-meter. We're going to run a 1,600. Doesn't matter. We're going to run a 26-mile marathon. Whatever race you run, here I go. I'm not going to do this because I'll hurt myself. But you get ready to run, and you start running. You take off running. And boy, it's a tough race. It can be any kind of race. It can be a race where people knock you off it. Because in this race, you're battled the whole time. And it's tough. And you're running along this thing. And you're tired. And you're sweating. And you trip and get scratched up and get back up. And the other people running the race. And the devil are hitting you and kicking you. And you're running this race. And you're way ahead. And you're doing great. And you're doing wonderful. And you have run out of this 26 miles. You have run 23 excellent miles. And you're in the lead. And you say, whew, man, that was a good race. Oh, man, I ran hard. Whew. I'm done. Well, if the prize is $1 million, doesn't matter how well you ran 23 miles or 25 miles. Paul said, I ran all the way to the end. I'm in the last prison cell, and I've been in a bunch of them. I've been beaten and stoned, not smoking pot stoned. I've been stoned by getting stones thrown at me. I've been abused and hurt and mocked and tug of war and everything else I've been through. And you know what? I'm at the end now, and I finished everything. You know how many people start going to church? How many people start going to church and say, I want to serve God with my life? Do they finish? Do they die and haven't been faithful to church? Have they run well and run all? Do they finish? If you quit running before, if you quit running at 90 meters in a 100-meter race, it doesn't matter if you're the fastest guy in the first 90 meters. If you don't finish the race, you're in last place. If you don't finish the plan God has for you, you lose out. And you lose a whole bunch. See, the Lord rewards and acknowledges those who finish. He says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 9, he says, Zerubbabel started this building, this thing, and Zerubbabel is going to finish it. And he says, I like finishers. I want people to finish. If you go to Luke chapter 14, you'll see God criticizes those who don't finish. Luke chapter 14, God criticizes those who don't finish. Luke chapter 14, verse 26, if any man will come to me, let him hate, and hate not his father, or mother, or wife, or children, or brother, or sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. For whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily, after you have laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. Saying, this man began to build, but was not able to finish. Or what man going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 men to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever you have forsaken not all he hath, he cannot be my disciples. He says, who doesn't start? Who is a foolish man who says, you know what, I want to build a house. All right, let's get the concrete, let's lay a foundation. Let's go build it. All right, let's get the walls. Let's go build some things. Well, I didn't think about that. I'm going to need a lot of 2x4s. And drywall? What's drywall? Roof? I don't have enough money for a roof. But I got a foundation and some walls. That's nice. Everybody's going to say, why did you waste starting that thing when you're not going to finish it? That's what God likens it. Likens to a man going to war and not being prepared to finish the battle and to win or lose or do whatever. But he has no plan because he's not ready to finish it. And he says, people will mock you for that. God criticizes when you don't finish. If you go to the book of John, you'll see Jesus was our example of finishing. The Bible very carefully, and the book of John is just one spot, but very carefully acknowledges that Jesus was a person who finished what God gave him to do. John chapter 4, he finished what God gave him to do. John chapter 4, Look at verse 34. Jesus saith unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. And to finish his work. Go to John chapter 5. We'll go back there in a little while. John chapter 5, verse 36. It says, But I have a greater witness than that of John, for the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, and bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. John chapter 17, Jesus praying in John 17. So you see, Jesus keeps on saying, I finished what God gave me to do. John chapter 17, verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. John chapter 19. And verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is, what's the next word? Finished. And he bowed in his head and gave up the ghost. You know what? If Jesus lived a sinless life and was great and did miracles and healed people and did a wonderful bunch of things and went through his whole life and did a bunch of great things, and he went and went to Gethsemane and did a bunch of things, and he went and got all the way almost the cross and said, You know what? I've gone this far. You know what? These guys are mocking me, making me carry this cross. I'm not going to finish this thing. Everything else would have been wasted. Where would you be in eternity? See, Jesus Christ finished the work, and he got down the cross, and he died, and all of our sins came upon him, and he said, the last sin for the last sinner has been paid for. It is finished. Jesus is our example of finishing things. The Lord rewards those. He acknowledges those. He blesses those who finish. And those who don't finish, he says, look foolish. It's the end of a year. And if we're finished up a year, I don't know if you made resolutions. I don't think you should just make them in New Year, but maybe you this year you made some resolutions. But this year, have you finished this year that God had you to do? You're at church on the last Sunday night of the year. I'm glad about that because that means you're finishing well. Remember, a lot of people start well. You know, a lot of parents are good parents until a kid turns two. And it's not so easy when they're two. A lot of people start well. A lot of people don't finish well. Have you done this year? Have you finished well? Have you done the work God had for you to do? Have you finished it? At the end of the year, do you feel like you have finished well? Let me just give you some things here. How do you finish well? The Lord wants you to finish well. He acknowledges how to finish well. He rewards those who finish well. Let me just give you a few things that will help you finish well. Let's go back to John chapter 4 and just give you some things to finish well. I want to help you be a finisher in your spiritual life. So at the end of your life, whether you're someday in the hospital from a disease or you get old or Jesus comes back, you say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. By the way, if you don't think people are finishing well, they are not nowadays. When I was, I realized this in Bible college. Everybody at the Bible college I went to, just about a lot of people were called to ministry, and they were going to the ministry, and they wanted to serve God, and they were going to the hardest Bible college in the world where I went to Bible college. Brutal place, tough place, very intense place. And you didn't go there unless you wanted to go in the ministry and wanted to serve God. And yet I went there, and I just saw people left and right quitting. Never finished Bible college. By the way, if you can't make it through Bible college, you aren't going to make it in the ministry. Then I went in the ministry, and I was shocked how many people I knew in the ministry that have quit the ministry. They didn't finish like Paul. And by the way, well, I'm going to serve God the rest of my life. You know what? I'm just determined I'm going to do it. You better have a plan for that. See, because I think I could quit, and I think I can mess up, and I think I could not finish well, and I know if I'm not careful and don't plan to finish for God, I won't finish for God. I've watched too many people fall. Never do I talk to a person who starts coming to church and serving God who says, you know what, I'm going to try this, and you know what, in about 8 months, I'm going to backslide and go away from God. They never say that. People do it. Why do they do that? Because they don't know how to finish. Intentions don't make you finish. Everybody starts intending to finish. And I want to give you a few things how to finish well. And if you go back, first of all, don't put things off. John chapter 4, verse 34, it says, Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look in the fields, for they are already white unto harvest. One of the craziest things in life, one of the funniest things in life, is people with good intentions. They really do. I really think people have good intentions, but they say, you know what? I am someday going to win souls. I am someday going to read a Bible through. I'm someday going to have a real prayer life. I'm someday going to be faithful to church. I am. You watch. The people who do that never do it. You just either do it or you don't. That's all there is to it. You just do it or don't. If you say, I'm going to someday, the devil is so happy with you intending to do things. He's thrilled with that. You got to start right now. You got to start tonight. And you're at church tonight, so I'm preaching the choir. But you got to start. If you want to start reading your Bible through this year, you better start today. Don't say, someday I'm going to be a great Christian and memorize my Bible. How long have you been saying that for? You don't put it off. You just begin to do it. You want to finish well, start, and don't put things off. Number two, don't commit without counting the cost. Let's go back to Luke 14. Don't commit without counting the cost. You know why a lot of people say they're going to do something? Because they don't really think of, they don't think through the process of what it's going to take to do that thing. That's why volunteer labor is so unreliable. You ever have people who volunteer to do everything for you? I love volunteer work. It's great when it comes through. But boy, I'm still waiting on some of it. I say, you know what? I'm going to help you move. Before I say that, I should think, what? First of all, I already know you live in the third story. Everybody I move lives in the third story. But I should think about what story you live on, and that's important. I should say, we're going to somebody's house. I said, I need help. We got a lot of stuff to move. Will you come help us? And I said, great. And I brought two or three guys in the church and went over there. They were packed. And we started moving boxes, but their bookcases were packed. I mean, they were not packed. They were full of books. And there's about three or four boxes. We moved in the truck and said, now what do we do? How about the cat? Can I move the cat? Okay, here goes the cat. You know what? I didn't realize we were standing there for 3 hours. Then I had to pack their stuff. Do never pack anybody else's stuff, by the way. They just start watching you packing because they're afraid you're going to break it. So we're a waste of time. And people say, I want to help you with this. It might take a long time. Oh, really? Yeah. Before you start a job, say, you know what? I'm going to do this job. Don't really count the cost. Jesus said, before you decide you're going to follow me, if you want to finish following me, you better understand there's a cost to following me. I want to follow Jesus with my life.
Awesome.
You understand you might lose some family members. What do you mean? I mean, your family's going to think you're nuts. They're going to criticize you. Are you willing to do that? Well, wait a minute. If they don't count that, then it happens. They say, I didn't sign up to lose my family members. You just didn't count the cost. You're not going to finish. You're going to have to give 10% of your income to God. He commands that. You're cursed the curse if you don't. Well, I don't want to follow God then. Well, consider that up front. That's fine. Because you're not going to finish if you don't count a cost. Well, I'm going to go and I'm going to follow God. Well, that means that God might call you to anywhere in the world. That means you might get made fun of at work. If you don't come into that thing, you're not knowing and counting the cost, you're not going to finish because it's hard. And if you go in and get a job for God, and you say, I want to do this thing for God, and God says, okay, but it's going to cost something. It's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. You don't count that cost. You won't finish because you'll go halfway and say, this is tough. This is going to take a long time. It does. It's like painting a house. You ever have somebody volunteer? Some people, a painter knows how long it takes to paint a house, but you know everybody will volunteer to come help you paint your house, and they'll last for about 2 hours. It's not done yet. Man, we only finished one wall. Takes a long time to paint a house. Takes a long time to do this work. People volunteer stuff because they don't count the cost. Step back and say, you know what, if I'm going to serve God the rest of my life, I'm going to go through a lot. The devil's going to really fight me. I'm going to sacrifice and be attacked and hurt and lose my Sundays. And I'm going to go and have to help some people who are needy and be with people who are hurting and lose some of my time and lose some of my relaxation. It's going to be, and people are going to mock me. I'm going to have some people who are going to make fun of me. I'm going to lose some friends if I do that. But you know what? I'm already see that cost, so I'm willing to do it. Now you're going to finish. Because if you come in and somebody says, hey, will you come over and help me with a little work in my house? And you say, sure. And they say, okay, and you get there and there's a foundation. They say, I need you to help build my house. You say, whoa, wait a minute. I wasn't expecting that. I don't have time for that. But if you know what's coming, you can handle it. Count the cost. Serving God costs something. If you want to finish, don't just say, okay, I'll do it. If you don't count the cost, it's easy to finish when you know that it's hard and long. You ever realize that in life? If I said to you, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to just pick on you and be nasty and mean to you for 24 hours. At the end of it, you get $1 million. You can handle it. You can handle it because you know what's coming and the reward's great. You're willing to do that. If you know something is going to, how long it's going to be, and you know how you can steel yourself and prepare yourself for anything. That's what you need to do. Number three, first of all, don't procrastinate. Next, don't commit without counting the cost. Next, be balanced. Be balanced. If we go back to our text there, 2 Timothy, there's a lot of passages on this, and I'm not going to have time to read them all, but be balanced in your life. He says in verse 5, 2 Timothy 4, 5, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. We turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. It says, out of thy faith, virtue, to have virtue, knowledge, patience, temperance, brotherly kindness, charity. And it continues through a whole list, and it says, and be sure to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you will never fall. See, if you get a life that is sure of your salvation, and get virtue and character and faith and knowledge and temperance and patience, all the things of the Christian life together, you get a complete balanced life, you'll finish. See, because the devil will find your fault. Listen very carefully to me. The devil will find your fault, and if it is an undealt with fault, he will destroy you through your fault. You cannot have major flaws in your character and finish for God. It's very simple. The devil's going to work on it. And if he says, you know what, they got a major problem with lust, he's going to always attack you with lust. You got a major problem with anger, he's going to always attack you with anger. Got a major problem with alcohol, guess what he's going to keep attacking you on, and you're not going to finish. You got a major problem with pride, he's going to attack your pride. Got a major problem with being sensitive and hyper-emotional, guess what he's going to do? Preacher's going to preach on your sin, somebody at church is going to forget to say hi to you, and you aren't going to be at church some Sunday. They forgot to say hi to me, they hate my guts. And there you go. See, if you have big faults in your life, the devil's going to find them. You got to add to your faith, virtue, patience, temperance, all of these things, brotherly kindness, everything. He says, make full proof of thy ministry. He says, do the work of an evangelist, do the work of a pastor, do everything you're supposed to do. Have a full circle life. Have a life that's together. If you have terrible finances, the devil's going to destroy you through your finances. I have known some godly people whose life is constantly ruined by their financial decisions. And the devil says, let me attack you again on that. That worked good. Let's do it again. They thought it was bad luck. Got them now. Let's do it again. Nope, they're going to say bad luck again. Yep, you got bad luck, buddy. You're going to have bad luck the rest of your life. I got you. You're in bondage to money. Boy, the devil is good at that. Oh boy, this person, they just got a big fault in them. They just cannot stay away from somebody who looks in the eye and says, you're so beautiful. Destroyed your life. Well, but next time, he won't destroy my life. The next one won't. And over, bad choice. Can't control yourself in your relationships. You're destroyed. You must be a balanced person. Have it all together. You must have it. Make full proof of thy ministry, Timothy. Make sure you're saved. Make sure you have a complete character and not a character with major flaws. Next, keep your eyes on the prize. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. I'm sorry, chapter 4, verse 10. It says in this very chapter here, Paul's still talking, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Oh, man. If you do not keep your eyes on Jesus, Paul said, the same man who's talking here, the reason See, Demas was a friend who traveled with Paul to start churches, and a good man. A man who started churches, but it said he quit. He is not with me anymore. He left Christianity and went back into the world because he loved this present world. He loved the money. He loved the fame. He loved the fortune. He loved the pride. He loved the things of the world, and he loved the success of the world. And he says he's left the ministry. He's not willing to go to a jail cell anymore. He's not willing to suffer for a cause of Christ anymore. And he's forsaken me, and he loves this present world, so he's not with us anymore. But if you read what Paul said, he said, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I count all things but loss for the excellency of knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. It says, run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. You know what the Bible says? It says, if you keep your eyes focused on Jesus, you can run the race and finish. If you keep your eyes in this world, you're going to fail. You're going to get distracted. If you want to be popular and wealthy and famous and everybody like you and all that stuff, you're not going to finish for God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. What are you going to focus on? You got to keep your eyes on Jesus and him being pleased and getting to eternity, not the things of this world, not temporary things. Don't look on the, while we look not on the things which are seen, but on the things which are not seen. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. The things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. Keep your eyes on the prize. You want to finish, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus and not the things of the world. Next, if you want to finish, very important here, you got to be tough. Got to be tough. You say, Pastor, that's not spiritual. I mean, that's kind of a macho testosterone thing. Oh, no. It's a very spiritual thing. Wimps cannot be good Christians. And I don't mean wimps by how much you can bench press. I mean how tough you are. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. What's endure mean? Anybody can answer that? Who can tell me what endure means? Anybody? Okay, we have an IQ of 60 combined. Mark! Dealing with something? Anybody else? Endure. Brian? Okay, continue the course by suffering. Does endure mean to avoid? It doesn't say avoid afflictions. You can't. You're standing in Seattle saying, I'm going to jump out of the way of all the rain. It ain't happening. It says endure afflictions. You know what it means? It means get punched in the face and say, ouch. Okay, what was I doing? You endure it. Serving God's tough. Endure afflictions. Look at verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He says, I fought. Endure afflictions. There's a lot of other verses the Bible talks about hard times. See, a Christian is not necessarily somebody who can bench press 400 pounds or somebody who is in mixed martial arts fighting. A good Christian is someone who, when it gets real, real tough, here's what they're doing. Okay, I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to church. Ouch. Whew. Okay, I'm reading my Bible. I'm going to church. Okay, got to be there this Sunday. And you know what? I'm going to pass out some tracts this week. And I've got to go and keep on being good to my family. And And I'm going to go and keep on praying and reading the Bible and going to church. And you know what? No matter what happens, I'm going to keep on going to God. That's what a Christian does. Christians got to be tough. If you're wimpy and whiny and you can't handle hard times, you're in the wrong religion. Because the devil is going to attack you. But listen to me. I've never not told this outrightly in our church. You're in the wrong church. Because mediocre Christianity, the devil is not worried about, and you can live a pretty comfortable life. It's not the lukewarm Christians that the devil is worried about and fights. They live very comfortably. It's the Christians who want to be on fire for God. They get attacked. And the churches who want to do big things for God, they get attacked. And the preachers who want to do big things for God, they get attacked. Lukewarm Christianity, not too tough. You want to be a great evangelist, you want to be a great pastor, Timothy, endure afflictions. Just tough it out. Tough it out. Wear the devil's fists out. It's going to be tough. You're going to be mocked. You're going to be lonely sometimes. You're going to lose things. You're going to be suffering. You're going to be hurt. It's going to be tiring on Sunday. People are going to ask you to do things you don't want to do. People are going to try to get you to do things that are hard. It's going to be hard to read your Bible. It's going to be hard to pray. It's going to be hard to swallow your pride and get that relationship right. It's not easy being a good Christian. Ask Jesus. Ask Paul. Look at my stripes upon my back. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Leave me alone. And that's part of being a Christian. If you're going to be tough, the preacher someday is going to say something mean to you. I mean, I'm just going to offend you someday. I'm going to preach a message right at you. I don't, but you'll think I am. Somebody at church is going to be mean to you. And you're going to borrow money and not pay it back. They're supposed to give you a ride. They're not going to show up. They're going to go and tell your kid that they're a brat. Tough it out. But they offended me. Aww. We're the wimpiest bunch of people. They smile, but they didn't use their teeth. They just smiled their lips. They didn't mean it. I'm leaving. People are so wimpy. Tough it out. Be a man if you're a male. If you're a woman, be a woman. Not a little girl. You're not Barbie. Tough it out. It gets tough to go to church sometimes. Sometimes you're tired. I'm tired. I don't feel good. Go to church anyway. I'm busy. Go to church anyway. My favorite show's coming on. Read your Bible. But they make fun of me when I carry my Bible to school. Okay, you're going to be lonely and get mocked. Take your Bible to school. Tough it out. How do you be tough? You get hit, and you keep on going. You get knocked down, and you get back up. You fight the devil back, and you don't quit. Or you can lay down and curl up in a ball and whine. That's what you can't do if you want to finish well. Don't procrastinate. Don't commit without counting the cost. Be balanced. Keep your eyes on Jesus Christ and on the prize, and be tough. If you'll do these things, you can finish. Otherwise, you'll be going to church for 3 months and then quit. Come back for a month, quit. You'll go to one church and all of a sudden the church will be a bad church, and you go to another church and guess what? That church is a bad church too. And you won't go to church anymore. Your friends will mock you and make fun of you, and you'll lose a few friends or lose a girlfriend, and all of a sudden you'll say, I quit. You'll start serving God and you lose your job. I quit. But you know what? One of the funnest things in the world is get to the end of the year and say, you know what, 2009, it's all over. 2010, it's all over. You know what, though? That was a pretty good year. I got a lot done this year. I finished serving God this year. I did what God wanted me to do. I'm ready. I'm ready for Jesus Christ to come back. I'm ready for it to happen. It is not easy when the devil is attacking you and when you're serving God if you want to be a great Christian. But you know what? You can finish. And when you finish, you say, what did Paul say? For I am now ready to be off, for the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith, and henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. I am looking forward to dying, because you know what, Lord? When you come, I know what you're saying. Good job. Paul, you finished well. What if the last cell, the last time he's going to get arrested, he said, okay, I'll quit preaching Jesus. I'm 65, my body's broken up, I'm scarred, I don't want to go to dirty, dank cell again, this time I'm going to kill me, you know what, this time I'm not going to do it, fine, I'll leave town, I'm not going to preach anymore, okay, oh, we wouldn't have those verses, and we stood up and said, Jesus died at okay, he said, you didn't finish well, I want you to be serving God until he comes. I don't think you'll live your life until you're old enough for death. I think Jesus will come first. I want you fighting and working hard for him. Let's pray. Lord, help us to finish well. Lord, I love those verses. What a great rejoicing at the end of your life. I've fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me treasures in heaven.